Today's shiur in Sefer Vasra Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph on the top line, Tanya. As we finish learning the sugyas about Stockholm. Tanya Amar Alava Binyamin Hatzadik. It was said regarding Binyamin Hatzadik, Shaymimun HaKupesh HaTzadik, who is the administrator of the Stockholm Fund. Pamachas Basi Isha Lefana B'shnei B'tzuris. And one time during a hunger year, a woman approached him. Amrloi, and she said to him, Rebbe Panaseini, please give me something to eat. I'm in a desperate situation. Amrloi, so he responded, Havoida, he made a shvur, he swore, Shem bekupesh otzdaka klum. The fund is completely depleted. There's nothing there. Amrloi, Rebbe, so she said to him, Im ein atam efanaseini, if you don't give me something to eat, to live on, I and my seven sons will not make it. So he went, took money out of his pocket to support her. And as the Mashal explains, it wasn't that Rabbi Yamin, at Tzaddik, was a very wealthy person himself. He actually was a very poor person and had very limited funds. And therefore, until he recognized this woman's situation, he didn't take out that meager amount of money that he had to give to her. But now that she explained to him how serious her situation was, he took whatever money he had and gave to her. Says the Gemara L'Yomim, a while after that, Cholav Anot Lomos. Binyamin HaTzadik got very ill and he was on his deathbed. Omer Malach HaSharas L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbani Shloilam, Ata Marta, you said, whoever helps one Jewish soul, it's as if he made the whole world survive. Here we're referring to Binyamin HaTzadik. He helped that this woman and her seven children should survive. Yomus b'shana me'atus should die young. Yad karolei gzardinai. They immediately ripped up his gzar din. Tana, and the Bryce teaches us, Haisifaloi Esrim Vishtaim Shonal Shnoisov. He was able to live another 22 years. The Mefarshim discuss what is the significance of 22 years. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is, we remember Rivka telling Yaakov that he should run away after the episode with Yaakov and Esav, and the brachas from Yitzchak, and it says that Yaakov was away shonim mu'atois. How many years was Yaakov away from his family? 22 years. So we see that 22 years is considered shonim mu'atois. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw from some cipher is that we know, the Gemara just said that what was so special about what Binyamin HaTzadik did was that he helped this woman survive and her children survive, and every Jewish life is so special. What's so special about every Jewish life? That every Jewish person could learn Torah, that every Jewish person could do mitzvahs. The Torah is written with the alabays. How many letters are there in the alabays? 22 letters. So corresponding to 22 letters of the alabays that Binyamin HaTzadik helped her have and her children, he got 22 more years to live. Continues the Gemara. There was an episode with Bumbas Hamelech. It was a hunger year, it was a famine, and he gave out all of his money, distributed all of his money for people. The Ben Yoyada says that's where the name Mumbas comes from. The word Mumbas is very connected to the word Bizbeis. He spent all of the money for tzedakah. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim ask. We know the Gemara says in a number of places, Hamavazbiz al Yabazbiz Yois Mechaimish. You're not allowed to give more than 20% to Tzedakah. So how did Mumbiz give all of his fortune away for Tzedakah? So the Mefarshim answer, why is there such a rule indeed that Hamavazbiz al Yabazbiz Yois Mechaimish? Because you could be left with nothing yourself. So that's a concern by a regular individual. Here we're referring to a king. A king could always raise taxes. He'll never be left without any income, and therefore, if he sees it necessary or worthwhile to give away even more than 20%, so should he do. The chivra of Achiv Beis Aviv, his family was very upset at him. Your forefathers put away money, and they actually increased their fortune over their forefathers. And you're taking all of our money and spending it. They put it away in this world. The money I'm putting away is in a better place. The tzedek we do is in Shemayim. There's a beautiful mashal, a very famous mashal given by the Chayvus Alvavus. The Chayvus Alvavus says there was a country once that every year they had a different king. And after that year, they sent you away. It wasn't that you were no longer king. They expelled you from the country. So they took a king, and the king saw what a wonderful opportunity he has. He's the king. Everybody does whatever he wants. He brought his family. He built buildings. He had a great life. But after the year, they sent him out, and he was left with nothing. There was another king who was appointed this position. He was smarter. He recognized that the year goes very, very quickly. And at the end of the year, what's he going to have? He's going to have nothing to show. So everything he was able to put his hands on, he sent out of the country. He sent them to offshore bank account. He sent everything out of the country, and he bought real estate and sent all the money out of the country as much as he could. When the year was up and he was expelled, where he was sent to, he had what to live with. That's our life in this world. How many years are we here? Our life in this world, unfortunately, goes very quickly. So we spend our days in this world trying to build in this world. What are we going to have to show at the end? But if we try to do what's right and build castles in Shemayim and the Olam HaEmes, then we'll have something to show. Continues the Gemara. Avoisai Mumbaz is saying, Gonzu b'mokum shiach shletus bar. They put their money where humans or others could have a shlita, could have influence over it. I put away my money in a place where nobody could touch it. The stock is under the kisei hakovid. Money doesn't really produce, doesn't multiply on its own. Mitzvahs multiply. It makes payrus. A voice said, "Gonva oitzus mamin." They put away money, which is cheap. Vani ganasti oitzus nefashas. I, by giving tzedakah to people who were needy, and I was able to support them, put away nefashas. Shenema pri tzadik eitz chayim for lekeach nefashas chacham. There's nothing better to invest in into Jewish souls. A voice said, "Gonzi lachayrim." My forefathers put away the money for the future generations. They had no direct pleasure from it. V'ani ganasti la'atzmi. Shenema l'cho t'yitztaka. The tztaka we do, we accrue the benefit. Avoy se gonzo lo'ilam hazeh. V'ani ganasti lo'ilam haba. Shenema v'holach l'fnecha tzedkecha. Kvayr Hashem yosvecha. And do'ilam emes. I saw a very powerful story from the Klozmer Rebbe. The Klozmer Rebbe was in the city of Klozenburg in Romania before the war. And there was somebody who lived in that city who was very supportive of the Rebbe. He helped the Rebbe build his institutions, his shul, whatever. After the war, that man survived the war, as did the Klozenburg Rebbe. And that man approached the Rebbe and told the Rebbe, "All the money I gave to your institutions before the war, there's nothing left from it. Everything, unfortunately, we know was destroyed." So the Rebbe said, "That's the only thing that you have left that survived the war. Everything else that you had, all the Jews in Europe lost everything, certainly all of their material items if they didn't lose their families. The only thing that you have left was the tzedakah that you gave before the war. That mitzvah, nobody could take away from you." Continues the Gemara. Now we go back to Masechta Baba Basra. So the Mishnah taught us that if somebody buys an apartment in the city, then he becomes a citizen of the city, and he immediately has to participate in paying taxes. Says the Gemara, Masnisin d'lak Rav Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah is not consistent, says the Gemara, with the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya of Shimon Gamliel, Omer, in Karnaba Kaka Koshu, if somebody bought even a piece of real estate, not a house, Hareyu Ka'an Shi'ir. He right away becomes a citizen of the city. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya of Shimon Gamliel, Omer, we learned in a different brisa that Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, in Karna Sham Kaka, Hareyu Ilabes Dira, Hareyu Ka'an Shi'ir. You don't have to buy buying a piece of real estate alone is not enough. It has to be a piece of real estate that you could build a home on. Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoi, the leader of Shimon Gamliel. There's Machloikas Tanoim, what Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is. One opinion is that he says any piece of real estate makes you a citizen. The other, it has to be a piece of real estate that you could build a house on. There's an interesting Tosefta. The Tosefta discusses the following Shaila. What happens if I own a house? I own a house in a city. Again, I'm not talking about the secular law. I'm talking about the halacha. I own a house in the city, but I don't live in that city. I only bought the house as an investment. What is my status? Am I considered like a citizen of the city or not? So the Tosefta makes a very interesting distinction. He says the money that you pay for taxes really could go for two purposes. One is for the maintenance of the city, a sewer system, all the other infrastructure that a city and a town need. And the other money that tax money goes for are for protection, for a police force, for a sanitation department. So he says as follows. The money that goes to improve and maintain the city, you have to pay that taxes. Because your home in that city goes up in value if the infrastructure of the city is maintained well. So even if you're not actually living in the city, you're benefiting from that, and you have to pay those taxes. However, the money that's used for a police force, you're not living there, so you're not benefiting from the police force protecting the people. That money you wouldn't have to pay. It's a Tosefta. There's an interesting Namuka Yosef. The Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara we just learned, keeps on speaking about somebody who owns a piece of property in a city, that as soon as he owns a home, for sure, he's considered a citizen of the city. The Namuki Yosef, and this is consistent with the Namuki Yosef's opinion throughout Halacha, says that let's say you lease an apartment in a city, but the lease is not a lease just for a month. It's a lease for a year. There the Halacha is that even though you're only a tenant, you automatically become a member of the city, a citizen of the city. And actually, the Namuki Yosef's opinion is consistent. We know the Gemara says in Masechet Menachos, and it's Kapaskin the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Mezuzah, that if somebody owns a home, you have to make a difference. That's Yisrael Chutz Laretz, you have to put up a mezuzah right away. But if you rent an apartment in Chutz Laretz, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, the Gemara says that you don't have to put up a mezuzah for 30 days. Says the Namuki Yosef, people don't notice Namuki Yosef. It's only if you rented the apartment for less than 30 days. But let's say I rent an apartment in the Chutz Laretz, but I sign a lease for a year. The Muki Yosef says you don't have that 30-day dispensation. You have to put up the mezuzah right away. Because by leasing the apartment for a year, even though you're only a tenant, you become a toshev here. You become that this is your city, and you have to put up the mezuzah right away. And here too, he says the same thing. It's interesting. What will be the halacha? The Ramah discusses the Shaila and Chayshim Mishpat. I own a property in a city. I own a house in the city, and I'm trying to sell it. But the real estate market is not that great, and I'm having a hard time selling it. Am I considered like a member of the city? Or the fact that I'm trying to sell it, just I'm having difficulty selling it, that makes me a toshev ba'oynis. And the Ramah says a toshev ba'oynis is not considered a toshev, and I don't have the din of a citizen. Obviously, the Ramah probably is speaking about a situation where I didn't already become a citizen. If I'm already a citizen, I can't lose that status until I sell the house. But here I bought a house with the intent just to flip it, to sell it, but I'm having a problem selling it. Actually, Rav Moshe wants to use that Ramah for a very interesting question. He says, let's say you have a kollel established in the city, where the people who go learn in that kollel really don't want to live there. They're only living there because they want to be members of the Kailul. They want to learn by the Rosh Kailul, by the Rosh Yeshiva. So they considered members of the city. They're only there by Oynis, because they want, they're only there because they want to be there because of the yeshiva, not because of the city. And Ramesh is not quite certain if they should be considered citizens of that community. Says the Mishnah, Ein chalkim es achatzer. We don't divide a chatzer. One partner cannot compel the other partner to divide the chatzer. It has to be large enough that each tenant, that each partner will be left with an area of dalar amis. Machloikas Rishonim, then when we say Dalar Amos, what does Dalar Amos mean? Some Rishonim say it means Dalar Amos square. It has to be 4 Amos by 4 Amos square. So even if you'll have an area that has in it 16 Amos, but let's say it's long and narrow, or wide and short, it's not Dalar al Dalar. Other Rishonim say that no, as long as you have a workable area, even if it's not Dalar al Dalar Amos square, it's considered in a situation where it's divided. Furthermore, a field is not divided. That each partner will be left with an area of Tisha Kabin. Rabbi Yudaimer, 9 half Kabin is big enough. Veloy, Asagina, the garden, we don't divide. Akiva says a filu base, just an area of base roiva is large enough. There's a machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Mishnah, the din that we're learning in the Mishnah, we're going to be spending a number of daf from Gemara discussing it. Some rishonim explain that this is a situation that Chazal established that if we have a small area that's not big enough to divide, dalad al dalad, then it's as if I have an easement on your property and you have an easement on my property. It's not that I have ownership of the entire property. It's just that Chazal, because it's such a small area, established that we have rights on each other's properties. Other Rishonim say no, that the way to understand the Mishnah is that it's viewed that I own the entire Chatzar and you own the entire Chatzar and you can't force me to separate from you or vice versa. The Nafkamina would be, with this Machlokes Rishonim, let's say we're not partners in the first place. We just have rights here. So if we're going to learn like the first opinion of the Rishonim, that this is just easement, so it makes no difference what our relationship is. But if we don't have a partnership situation in the first place, then Chazal can't create a partnership where there is no physical partnership. I saw a very interesting shaila discussed by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. This question, he says, comes up quite often in Israel. People in Israel have small apartments. Many people have large families. So they're looking to expand their apartments. So there's a courtyard in front of the house, which is large enough to divide. And some of the owners of apartments want to divide that courtyard, that everybody should be able to extend their apartment. Others don't want to extend it. They don't want bigger apartments. What's the halacha? What is the question based on? The question is really based on the following shaila. Our Mishnah says clearly if everybody doesn't get Dalar Amos, and we'll actually speak about it more in the Gemara in a moment, I can't compel you to divide, you can't compel me. What would be the halacha that it is large enough to divide? How do we understand that? Do we understand, and this is the opinion of some Rishonim, that once each one of us is going to be left with an area of Dalar Amos, I could force you to divide. I don't want to remain that way. Certainly, according to those Rishonim, so even though you don't want to divide, it doesn't make a difference. I have a right to force it. But there's an interesting opinion stated by the Rishonim, and the Ramah quotes that opinion, La Halacha. Let's say each one of us is going to have Dalar Amos. But by dividing it, our individual homes, our individual apartments, will decrease in value. I could stop the division. The Ramah says it has to be a decrease of 20%. If my property will go down by 20%, then the halacha is, says the Ramah, that I could stop the division, even though everybody's going to get Dalar Amos. Furthermore, Rev Zilberstein says that perhaps certainly in the case that I just mentioned, one of the neighbors could stop the other neighbors from dividing. Because the chotzer that we keep on speaking about, in Shas, the issue of chotzer keeps on coming up, was the courtyard was an area that was used. It wasn't just a garden in front of your house. It was an important part of living space where people utilized that area for different functions. A chotzer nowadays is not a place that we really function in. It's a garden, but it's not really an area that's functioned. So it's never made in the first place to be a place that I should use, you should use. It's just a nice empty area in front of the house. So Rav Zilberstein says that he asked the Shaila to his shver, to his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv says, yes, they could force to divide the courtyard and everybody should be able to expand their apartments. Why? He says, because even if you'll follow the opinion of the Ramah, at the end of the day, after people will start extending their apartments, the value of their apartments will go up. They'll have larger apartments. The Ramah only says it when the apartments go down in value. Here, ultimately, they're going to go up in value, and one neighbor can't stop the other neighbor from dividing it for this purpose. Again, it has to be legal. Continues the Mishnah. V'loy has a traklin. Traklin is like a room where they used to sit and lounge. V'loy as hamorain is a hole. V'loy as a shayvich is a nest. V'loy as a talus is a talus. V'loy as a machet is a bathhouse. V'loy as base a bad is a alapress. V'loy as base a shalchin is a field that's irrigated. The Gemara is going to explain all of these halachos. Atchehei ben k'day lezeh, k'day lezeh. Unless there's enough that everybody, after we divided, should be able to function with the share that they're left with. Zeh klal. And the Mishnah says a rule. Koshi cholik, that if after these areas are divided, ushmayalov, everybody still retains a decent area, cholkim. Then we can divide it. Mlav ain't cholkim. Says the Mishnah, however, emasai, one of these rules said, bizmanch ain't shneim roitzim. If the two partners are not anxious or not interested in dividing, one partner doesn't want. Avo, this manchish name writes him, if both partners are agreeable to divide this area, then I feel a pachs mekan yachloiku. Then we could divide any area. And as the Rishayim say, actually the rule that the Mishnah just taught us is obvious. If you and I are partners and we're both agreeable to divide the area, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that we're allowed to. Say to Rishayim, the way to understand the Mishnah is that these words, this halacha that our Mishnah just taught us, are really an introduction to the next rule. That even though the halacha is that I can't, that if we both agree to divide, then why not, says the Mishnah, that's in a regular situation. However, if we own jointly kisvei hakodesh, then halacha is abish shneim roitzim, even though we both want lo yachleiku, you can't force us. We can't divide it, because as we learned and we'll learn, because it's an issue of bezayin kisvei kodesh to divide a sefer. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Abba Amish Amru. When we speak about Dalet Amis, that everybody's in, that you only could compel to divide if everybody's going to be left with Dalet Amis, Chutz Mishal Psachim. There's another Dalet Amis that everybody's entitled to, and that's the Dalet Amis near your door, boy. As we become clearer, as we get into the Gemara, you need to have room. You can't bring your items into your home. You can't load and unload in the house. So you need an area near the door of Dalet Amis where you could load and unload different items. And that's separate from the area that we're discussing in the Mishnah. Tanya Nami Hochi, so did we learn in the Braisa. And Chokim is a Chotzer. We don't divide a chotzer. Each person has to be left with shmon amos. Ask the Gemara, 8 amos. We just finished learning the Mishnah. Each partner has to be left just with dalet amos. El shmami no, k'deravasi. 4 amos for loading and unloading, and then another 4 amos, which will leave you an area of a total of 8 amos. The Rishonim discuss, again, similar to what we discussed in the Mishnah. How do we understand these 4 amis that Chazal give us next to our door for loading and unloading? Is it that Chazal said that I have ownership of the 4 amis closest to my door? Those are my 4 amis? Or it's not really that I become the owner of those 4 amis. It's just like a right of usage. The Rashba actually wants to suggest that's a machloikis bavli in Yerushalmi. Says the Gemara, Ika de Ramalei Mirma. Others have this Gemara in a version of a question and answer. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Chokim Sechotzer, Achi Abba Amis Lezeh, V'Abba Amis Lezeh. Ask the Gemara, but the Braisa says, Shmoin Amis Lezeh V'Shmoin Amis Lezeh. How do we reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? Answer the Gemara, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yoichan, Abba Amis Sh'amru, when we speak in the Mishnah about the Abba Amis, Chutz Mishel Psochim. It's besides the area of the door, that you get first four Amis next to your door. Says the Gemara. And there are many different approaches in the Rishonim how to learn the next Gemara. We're going to learn it the way Rashi explains it. Omer Rav Huna, Chotz Mischalekis Lefi Poschehel. Which means as follows. There was a father that owned two houses and a Chotz in front of the houses. And the father, before he passed away, wrote a will, how he wants to, a halachic will, how he wants this these houses divided. One son will get one house, and the other son will get the other house. Now, one house has two entrances, and the other house has only one entrance. And the question is, and the father did not make any statement regarding the chotzer. So now we have to try to understand what to do with this chotzer. So Rav Huna's opinion is that the chotzer is divided similarly to the same ratio, the same proportion as the houses. And just like one son got a two-entrance house and the other son got a one-entrance house, this son will get two-thirds of the chotzer and the other son will get one-third of the chotzer. As the Rishonim explained in understanding Rashi's opinion, we assume, even though we never heard the father say it, we assume that's what the father meant. And therefore the Rishonim say, it's specifically in this case that we have to try to creep into the father's mind. He's no longer here to ask him. That Rav Huna says that that's what we assume the father meant. But certainly in a situation, if two partners bought two houses together, with a chotzer together, they wouldn't have, Rav Huna would agree, we don't just make an assumption that the chotzer is divided two-thirds to one-third. Chizdomer, no. The father spoke about the homes, that's fine. As far as the chotzer, so as we learned in our Mishnah, everybody gets Dalet Amis. Noisn Abba Amis to Chopesach Chopesach. Yes, for every entrance, I'm entitled to Dalet Amis. Bashar, since the father made no statement about the chotzer, that's divided Chalk Mishava, it's divided evenly. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Chisda, there's a price that supports Rav Chisda's opinion. Psochem Shebe Chotzer, Yeshlam Arba Amis. Each door entrance gets Dalet Amis. Hoy Lezeh Pesach, Echod. I have one entrance to my home. Ulezent, my partner has two entrances. Zesh yesh loy pesach echod noitel arba amis. The one with one entrance is entitled to dalet amis. Zesh yesh loy shtei pesachim. The one with two entrances noitel shmein amis is entitled to eight amis. Bashar and the rest chalkim b'shavim are divided equally. Continues the brisa. Hoy lezeh pesach roch of shmein amis. I have an entrance that's eight amis wide. So we keep on speaking about getting dalet amis as a loading and unloading area. But that's in a normal door, which is Dalet Amis, 4 Amis wide. What's going to be the halacha if I have a door that's 8 Amis wide? Says the Gemara. So the entrance, the loading and unloading area has to cover the entire area of the width of my doorway. And therefore, Noitel Shmein Amis Kenegra Pesach. I'm tied to the unloading area of 8 Amis. And then the Abba Amis Bechotzer that we learned in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Abba Amis b'chotz ma'ividetei. So the Gemara says, as I said, hoch kama, noit l'shmeina Amis b'oirich ha'chotzer for loading and unloading area, and then I get the other Abba Amis that the Mishnah discussed b'oirich ha'chotzer. There's a machloikas rishonim. Our Mishnah discussed when we have a very wide door. So if I have a wide door, my area of loading and unloading is not limited to 4 Amis, it's 8 Amis. What happens if reverse situation? I have a very narrow door. It's only 2 Amis wide. Do I get only 2 Amis for loading or unloading? Because I only get to the width of the door. That's one opinion in the Rishonim. Other opinion is that the minimum for loading and unloading, no matter how narrow the door is 4 Amis. Amar Meimer, continues the Gemara. High Peri the Sufli. What they used to do is they used to collect the pits of the dates and throw them into a pit that we use for animal feed. Yeshle Ab Amis Chalruach Vruach. So if somebody has such a pit, such a bar in his chotzer, he's entitled to an area of circumference of 4 amos around it that the animal should be able to get to those pits. However, says the Maimer, there is no special direction from which the animals eat these pits. If there's a specific side from which the animal eats those pits, then he could only get the dalat amos with a stand on that side, not around the entire bar. Says the Gemara, Amrav Huna, Achsadra, and Zmachloikas Rashi in Taisus, how to learn what an Achsadra is. Rashi's definition of an Achsadra is that it's an area that has a roof and no walls. It just stands on beams. That's Rashi's definition. Taisus' definition is that it has 3 walls, but the fourth side is open. We're going to learn with Rashi. Says the Gemara, Achsadra ain't like Dalat Amos. We've been learning that you get Dalat Amos near your entrance, says Rav Huna, not by an Achsadra. And Rav Huna explains himself. Tamamai, as we have been explaining, what is the reason you get Dalat Amos? Mishum Pirik Masoi. You can't bring your animal, those days they carried on animals, you can't bring your animal into your home to load it and unload it, so you need to have Dalat Amos near the door where to unload and load the animal. However, if you have an achsadra, which is completely exposed, nobody's putting furniture, nobody's putting anything into such an achsadra, and therefore, efshe de ayel gavoy, you could bring your animal into the achsadra, umafarik, and load it and unload it there, and therefore you're not entitled to an extra dalat amos. Ask the Gemara, Moser of Sheshes, it says in a braisa, echad shari batim, v'echad shari achsadris, yesh le dalat amos. Even by Nechsadra, you are entitled to Dalat Amos. How do we reconcile this with Rav Huna said? Answers the Gemara, Ki Tanya Hi, Bechsadra de Bei Rav. That's referring to the Chsadra de Bei Rav. As Rashi explains, Chsadra de Bei Rav was a place that had walls. But whereas regularly a home has walls made out of wood or whatever, these were glass walls. But the walls, and regarding the halacha that we're discussing, that you can't bring your animal in, you can't bring, if it has glass walls, so it's completely enclosed, and you can't bring an animal in there, because if it has glass walls, you have furniture, and that's why, even though it has glass walls, you need Dalat Amos by the entrance to load and unload. Ask the Gemara, if this price is referring to Chsadit Beirav, Pshita, it's obvious that it's no different than any other room. And Druna Ma'alyahu, what's the difference what the walls are made out of? That we should need to tell us that the normal din of a Dalat Amos for loading and unloading is in order. Says the Gemara, it's referring to Achsadru Ramaisa. Rashi explains, Achsadru Ramaisa is an Achsadru that has walls, but the walls don't reach all the way up to the ceiling. They only go halfway up. So on one hand, it's completely enclosed. But on the other hand, it's somewhat exposed. So we would think, since it's somewhat exposed, it's not going to be a place where you're going to leave furniture, because even though it has these halfway walls, it's still exposed. Teaches us the Braisa, since it has walls all around, it's enough of a regular room that a person's not going to bring his animal in there, and that's why he's entitled to the Dalat Amos outside of the entrance for loading and unloading. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa. Tanaban Beishar Achsadra Mispasas, the Braisa we just quoted, Yeshlem Dalat Amos. You get Dalat Amos for loading and unloading. Says the Braisa further, Hoya Chamisha Batim Psuchel Mepesat. There are 5 different apartments opening to one porch. So the question that the Braisa is discussing, do we follow the number of families, or do we follow the number, we look at the porch? Says the Braisa, Yesh Lema Dalat Amos Bavad. It's one porch gets one Dalat Amos. Boy Minei Rav Yochanan Meresh Yamnai. Lul Shatana Goylem, a chicken coop. Yesh Lema Dalat Amos, Eilem Dalat Amos. Does the Dalat Amos rule apply there? Amalei, so he responded, Tamamai, why did Chazal give us these Dalat Amos? Mishum Pirik Masoi. Because you need room for loading and unloading to get the items into the room. Hacha, chickens don't need that. Metapas Vayla, Metapas Vayarid, they climb up and down the wall. They don't need this extra area in front of the entrance, and the Dalet Amos rule doesn't apply. Barmine Ravim Ram Nachman, Dais. If you have a room, Chetzye Makura, Vechetzye Ein Makura, part of it has a ceiling, half of it has a ceiling on top of it, and half of it doesn't have a ceiling on top of it. Ask Rava, Yesh Le Dalet Amos, Ein Le Dalet Amos. Does the Dalet Amos rule apply? Amalei, so he responded, Ein Le Dalet Amos. He does, the Dalet Amos rule doesn't apply. And he explains himself. Loimi Boye, Kuri Malagaf. Again, when you have a room that half of it has a ceiling, and half of it doesn't have a ceiling, so if the ceiling is in the inner half, so the half by the entrance is completely open, so because it doesn't have a ceiling. So if it's completely open, going back to what I said earlier, you're not putting any furniture there, it's completely exposed. So you could bring your animal right over there, and therefore you're not entitled to Dalet Amos. Again, loimi by kruya milgav, certainly in a situation where the ceiling is in the inner half, the efshur, the aila gavoi, where since the open front half near your entrance is exposed, you don't have any furniture there, so you could bring your animal there, umafarik, and unload it. Ella, says Rav Nachman, afilu kruya of klapichutz, if the area with the ceiling is near the entrance, efshur the aila gavoi mafarik, which means as follows. If you have a room that's half covered and half uncovered, even the place that's covered is not a place that you're going to put furniture, because the other half is completely exposed. So therefore, even though the half that's covered is right next to the entrance, nobody's putting furniture there, and therefore you can bring your animal there for loading and unloading, and you're not entitled to Dalet Amos in front of the entrance. Continues the Gemara. Boy minei Rav Huna mi Rav Ami. Echav emnei movi shabikish laach sapichse lemovi echar. B'nei movi ma'akfin alov e'im ma'akfin alov. So first we're going to say introduction, and then we're going to explain the Gemara like Rashi, which is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, but we'll say other pshatim just to help us. A mavi. We have this concept in Masechta Shabbos, we have this concept in Masechta Erevin. The way their houses were situated were that a number of houses opened to a chatzar, and then those chatzeris opened up to a mavi, to an alleyway. So let's say I have my house opening to a chatzar, to a mavi, which is on the left side of my house. And now, I'd rather have my house opening up to a chatzar on the right side, to the mavi on the right side. Can I switch the doors that now I'm going to be on the right side versus the left side? Again, let's read the words inside. I want to open my house to go to the right side mavi versus to the left side mavi. B'nei mavi, the people of that mavi, makvinalov or emakvinalov, could they protest and say, I'm not allowed to do it? Amle, he responded, b'nei mavi makvinalov, they could stop me. So the simple pshat is Rashi's pshat. Why? Because by me moving my entrance to this mavi, where it wasn't previously, I'm going to increase the traffic. They say, we don't want the extra traffic. That's the pshat that Rashi learns, the pshat that we're going to learn. Therefore, according to Rashi's pshat, say to Rishonim, we know when we speak about mavis throughout Shas, there's something known as a mavi mafulish and a mavi she'ena mafulish. A mavi mafulish is a mavi that's open from both sides. A mavi she'ena mafulish is that it's not open. Say the Rishonim in explaining Rashi, if this is a mavi that's mafulish, that's open anyway, so there's plenty of traffic going back and forth through this mavi, so then according to Rashi's understanding, they could not protest. What am I increasing traffic? It's a mavi mafulish. Mavi mafulish has plenty of traffic. Another pshat is, it's not the people of the new mavi who are protesting, it's the people of the old mavi who are protesting. Two ways to understand it. One way of understanding is as follows. Let's say I have my mavi till now on the left side only. Now I'm going to open up on the right side. So let's say somebody's going to want to go to the left side. What's he going to do? He's going to cut across my property to go out. So the people on the left side are saying there's going to be a lot more traffic in our mavi because all the people who want to get a shortcut are going to use it and we're protesting. That's one pshat. Another pshat is a tax consideration. You pay taxes, you pay property tax. Every mavi was assessed a tax. And all the members of that mavui shared in that burden. So till now, my door opened up to the left side, so my tax burden was on the left side. Now when I open up to the right side, the people on the left lose me as a participant, and they're saying, we're protesting, we don't want to lose your share because it's going to cost us more to pay more. Continues the Gemara. Aksanya. We know, the Gemara speaks about this many times, that when an army used to come to the city, they used to have to host the soldiers. And they used to assign every house soldiers. So the question is, when we make these assignments, l'fi b'nei adam eschalekes, or l'fi pischa eschalekes, do we count the house according to how many families live in the house, or how many entrances there are in the house? Amalei, l'fnei b'nei adam eschalekes. It's divided according to the amount of families. And says the Gemara, tanya nami hochi, zevel shebechatzer. We know that the halach is that you could take out manure to the chatzer, that it's trampled on and it becomes fertilizer. Meschalekas l'fni psachim, that's divided according to the doorways. Achsanya is divided l'fni b'nei adam according to the families. I saw another interesting pshat. The Chasam Sofer learns this pshat. The Tzavuch Tzedek learns this pshat. Then when it says l'fni b'nei adam, it doesn't mean according to families, it means according to income. The wealthier you are, the more of a burden you have to take upon yourself to take more soldiers. But that's not Pash Pshat and Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Amar Afuna. Ech b'nei mavi shbikish liskoim g'neged pischai. If there's somebody, the question comes up, if somebody wants to extend his home and black potted a mavi, b'nei mavi makvin alav, the other members of the mavi could say no, because you're blacking away. Shemav mil salam meterach, because now they have to walk around the extension. Next, they asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, you have five different homes, five different chatzeiros to be exact, opening to mavi. And they go in descending order. One is in the back, one is in front of it, and keeps on going like that. Five. So says the Braisa, kula mishtameshes im chitzoina, the one that's closest to the street, everybody has to walk through. However, the chitzoina, the most outer one, mishtameshes latzma, only walks, because if you only walk with the mavi out to the Rishus Rabbim, you don't walk into the other chatzeris. Veshtar, mishtameshes mishniya, these back three chatzeris are allowed to walk through the second chatzer, and certainly the first chatzer. Veshtamesh, shniya, the second one going from the entrance backwards, mishtameshes la'atzmai, mishtameshes mchitzoyna. Nimtze, so if we try to analyze this, Pnimis mishtameshes la'atzmai, the most inner chatzer has the most private area, because nobody else has the right to go there. They can only be by themselves. However, they have the right of mishtameshes m'kol achas v'achas. So we see that people in the back can build extension, because the other members of the mavi have no right to go there. So how could they protest? That's his Gemara Tanaihi. Actually, this is the subject of a machloikus tanon. The Tanya, Ech v'nei mavi, shebikesh lachse pischoi l'mavi achar. The case that we spoke about earlier, where I want to switch my entrance to the other side, v'nei mavi ma'akmin alav. The members of the mavi could stop me. Hayis sasim, on the other hand, let's say it was already closed up, ubikesh l'paschoi, I want to open it up, ein v'nei mavi ma'akmin alav. They can't stop me. Divrei Rebbe, Shimon Lozomer, chamish chatzeres apsuchas l'mavi, Kula mishtamshis b'mavizu. Ask the Gemara, chatzeres mandachashmayu. We were talking about a mavi. Could you switch the door? Says the Gemara, chsuri mechsevachtani. The way to understand Rav Shimon ben Loza's opinion is as follows. V'kein chamish chatzeres apsuchas l'mavi. If you have five chatzeres open to a mavi, kula mishtamshis m'chatzoyna. V'chatzoyna mishtamshis l'atzmai. Divir Rav Shimon ben Loza. Divir Rebbe, which is consistent with the opinion of the other Braisa, since nobody else could walk into this area, the people of that mavi could build the extension. Rav Shimon Lozoimer, chamish chatzeris, apsuchas l'mavi, he disagrees that if five chatzeris open to a mavi, it doesn't only work that the inner ones could walk outside, but works both ways. the inner ones could work outside, and the outer ones could walk even inside. If they could walk inside, therefore, because kol mishtamshes b'mavui, then the halacha is that anybody could protest in both directions.